How about that? Is that a deal? You were leading right in there, James. Thank you. Thanks for that. I paid him to say that. So, hands up and out. Hands up and out. This is where we are, and this is where we're going to continue to go. Okay. This right here is an invitation. Here we go, James. This is an invitation to wholeness right here. Wholeness that allows me to express what's in my heart to other people. And so you can't, this vertical relationship, God can be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all He wants to be. But until my heart is healed, I don't have anything to give out here. So before we go here with discipleship, we got to go not so much back up to here, although we do, but now sort of inside of ourselves. So this is called, I'm calling this disciple making the inward journey, or the journey inward, whichever way you want to say that. And so I wanted you to read that, those words that we said there, so we kind of get a picture of who God is in all this. And now to kind of bring that down, notice the last sentence of that last part was about brokenness. And so we're going to talk about here that here in just a few minutes. But as we look on the slide here, could we slide the slide? There we go, disciple making, the journey inward. And then the next one says disciple making, taking a journey with Jesus to live in and out of your true identity and destiny. So think about that just a minute. So it's a journey inward, and then it's a journey outward. It's a journey that when Jesus is living in me, then He, as He works in my heart, can then take me toward my true identity and my true destiny. So He's got a plan. God has a wonderful plan for our lives, okay, as the old four spiritual laws used to say. And so God has that plan, and He's got a destiny for us. But most people don't live in their true identity, and they don't live in their true destiny. And so as a result of that, they minimize what God wants to maximize, which is our influence. So when we, in a second, we'll get to the outward part. In a little bit, we'll get to the outward part, but that's the first thing that I want us to see there, okay? And so here's where the journey begins. The journey, the next slide says, the journey begins with healing your heart. The journey begins with healing my heart, and it's the journey inward. And so there are three things we want to say about that journey that have to do with brokenness, James, and so we're going to talk about that. Here's God's disciple-making goal for me. This is God's disciple-making goal for you, to heal the internal brokenness that's inside of us and to restore us to health and wholeness so that we reflect the glory of God to others, okay? To restore that. John Eldredge, in his book, The Utter Relief of Holiness, uses this little illustration here, but he talks about looking in the mirror, and he talks about one of the strangest quirks in all of the places where we live is that we have one face that we see less than almost any other faces, because we're always looking at other people's faces. The face we see the least of is our own. And he said, and when people do look at their faces, his comment was this: when people do look at our faces, the face that we rarely see, look at our own, we glance in the mirror, and when we glance in the mirror, we go, whoa, not so much. Or a lot of times people spend time looking in there to try to fix up what's messed up so that they will look the best that they possibly can on the outside, okay? And John Eldredge says, on the face we rarely see ourselves for who we are. And most of what we see, we don't like. And then we don't know what to do with what we see that we don't like. And so we hide what we don't like. We clean up what we can. And we just despise the rest. And so I think most people live there. They live there. People who are in the church. People who are part of the church. They live with that. They don't, have never really, in a lot of senses, faced up to themselves. Been able to look themselves face to face in the mirror. Say, you know, this is who I am. I like who I see there. I like my identity. I like my destiny. I like the way God made me. I like the way that He has formed and shaped me. And I can feel comfortable in my own skin. And that rarely happens with people, because most of the time, when we'll see in a minute, our hearts are broken and we despise what we see in the mirror. So we glance in the mirror and we see ourselves and we don't like what we see, basically, bottom line. So how does God heal the brokenness and restore us to health and wholeness so that when I look in the mirror, I can look in the mirror and appreciate who I see there? Alex can look there and say, I like what I see. Well, not so much. I don't like what I see. That scares me to death. Or to say, to be able to look in the mirror and say, I like what I see. Because when I look in the mirror and like what I see, as we'll see in a few minutes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, then it's only then that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. So when we want to kind of keep that in mind as we're going through here. Here is the greatest need in the world, okay? The greatest need and the only hope of all human beings is a change in the human heart, a change in what's inside of here so that I can look in the mirror and know that what's in here is acceptable to God, acceptable to me, and therefore worth giving away to somebody else. So, as we look at that, we can say these things about us, just sort of theologically, we can look at this and say this is true of all human beings who need a change of their human heart. We can say this: God formed us. We know this from Genesis 1, okay? Radical sin deformed us. We know that from the second and third chapters of Genesis and Jeremiah 17:9. Okay, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. God formed us. Radical sin has deformed us. The cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ has transformed us, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So the radicalness of Jesus comes into play in our lives at that point. And so we're, as we often say, we're saved. We've come to Christ, we've received Jesus, whatever. And so we step into salvation. But step number 4 is absolutely critical in the process, and that is that the Holy Spirit then reforms us. And because the Spirit's living in my life, His objective for me on the inside is He would reform my heart. And just because Jesus has come in there at some encounter I had at some conference or place or camp or whatever it was, and I'll tell you about mine in a minute, but wherever that place was, that was a starting point, not an ending point. You know, when we're saved in the past, present, and future. We're saved because Jesus saved us at the cross. We're saved because I receive Jesus now. And I go on being saved because my life needs to continually, day to day, be saved from myself and all the things that would pull me away from Jesus. And so here I am saying at this point, okay, I've been formed in God's image. I've been deformed by sin. I am transformed by the cross and resurrection. And now I'm being reformed. My heart needs to be reformed. And He's working in me to reshape me and to reform me according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. So when we look at that passage, here's what we see. This is, Paul's writing there and he says, whenever anyone comes to the Lord, they're a new creation, okay? Turns to the Lord, they're a new creation, right? The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom, all right? And then it says, and we Christians have no veil over our faces, but we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord, and as the Spirit of the Lord is working in us, reforming us, as the Spirit of the Lord is working in us, we become more and more like Him. And so the more He's working in me to reform me, the more I have to reflect out here to others. So I need to shine, to look in that mirror, let the light of the Spirit shine in me so that the Holy Spirit is reforming me on an ongoing, daily, moment-by-moment basis. All right? That being said, we can say this then. And this is a great statement to be able to make about disciple making. You can write this down, take it with you, because this is important. The Holy Spirit is the internal disciple maker. That takes a lot of pressure off right there. Okay, so now whatever we're thinking about disciple making, whoa, how's this going to work? It's kind of like, okay, no. Deep breath. The Holy Spirit is the internal disciple maker. It's not that we can't do some external things, which we're going to talk about, and we've already alluded to those, but the Holy Spirit is the internal disciple making. So here's the second thing that I want you to see here. And by the way, one final statement on that, that my life, Alex's life, my life both now and in the future is going to be determined by the way I allow the Holy Spirit to shape me, to form me, and to reform me to be that internal disciple maker to me. It will determine the trajectory of my life. And as He is reforming me, that trajectory changes. And I am able to maximize, we said earlier this morning, maximize more influence, have more influence for the kingdom of God, be a mirror that brightly reflects the Lord more as a result of what that the Holy Spirit is doing in shaping my heart. All right, that said, let's go to point number two. Point number two is simply this: God's healing and restoring method, His goal, is to heal our internal brokenness and restore us to health and wholeness. And God's healing and restoring method is to show us our brokenness so He can bless us. Now, let's break that out. I think I talked about this at one of the Bold Venture things. My wife and I have this little deal called, we call it Scratch and Sniff. Did I say that there was? If some of you were there, yes. Okay, so we have this little thing called Scratch and Sniff, and it kind of works a little game, kind of like this, that you've seen those little things where if you scratch it off, you either get a number under and you win the lottery, or you actually scratch it, and sometimes you smell it, and, you know, there's a aroma that's let off from that. And so our deal is, hey, just you can, when you see somebody, pastor, family that shows up at church all looking perfect and everything, somebody that's just, I mean, absolutely cool over here, you're looking at them going, dude, you know, that guy has really got his life together. Then we say this about that: just scratch and sniff. Let's scratch it just a little bit under the surface, and it's a mess under there. And we can say with confidence it's a mess under there, because if you scratch and sniff on me, I'm a mess under here too. And all of us are messes, so we scratch and sniff, and we find mess, dysfunction, problems, issues, things, all kinds of stuff that's in there that God wants to reform. He wants to transform us by reforming those things in our hearts that only, really, the Holy Spirit can do. So under the surface, there's plenty of brokenness, and if it's, and I think the other side of that to say is this, that if we leave that unhealed, then we end up being crippled and wounded and live in pain in that, whatever those areas are, for the rest of our lives. And that takes us on a downward trajectory rather than an upward trajectory. So healing here becomes a really, really significant thing. And before I get into this next part of this, let me just say that I think oftentimes what happens in the church is we, and the tradition I grew up in, people preach against sin. So you need to come to Jesus so you can have your sin forgiven. Yes and amen. Absolutely true. But then we go on dealing with the sin issues inside of people's lives, and it's like a superficial surface circle that we're going around here, because the truth is that those things that are outward, where you're dealing with, I don't know, pornography, or you're dealing with, you know, talking nasty, using nasty words, or whatever, you just pick a sin, I don't, whatever, those are only outward manifestations of the brokenness that's still in here. And so we said, you know, come to the altar, okay? Come to the altar, confess your sins, get your sin, you know? Yes, that's good. But underneath all that, at least in the tradition that I grew up in, there was no emphasis there on saying, no, it's a broken heart. And what this broken heart needs is not somebody pointing at me, telling me to get rid of my sin. What I need is somebody who will take me under their wing and help me find healing and health and wholeness.
That's good.
Same ideas, different approach to looking at it. So I want to take us there, okay? And I'll tell a little bit about my personal story in the midst of all this. But Jesus gave us the healing prescription. And it's, this is fascinating to me when I discovered it. It's just amazing to me because I'd never seen it. I mean, I'd taken communion all my life, but I'd never seen this. But when you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, right in there, it says something to this effect. It says, For I gave to you what the Lord delivered to me, Paul says. Then on the night he was betrayed, the Lord took the bread and he blessed it, gave thanks for it, and he broke it, and then he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you or broken for you. Okay? And in the same way, take the cup, drink the cup. This is the new covenant in my blood. Every time you do this in remembrance of me. And whenever you do this, you're proclaiming my death until I come. Okay? So we've all been a part of that in whatever tradition we're in. We take the Lord's Supper. It's interesting what beautiful picture that is, what a beautiful picture baptism is. We won't go over there, but we're going to stay right here. But this two, God, Jesus, God gave us two simple, beautiful pictures, and this is one of them. And so here we go. We go through that passage there, but if you go back, and I just discovered a couple of these things this week, but if you go back to all the places in the Gospels where Jesus, on the Last Supper, Mark 15, 14, 15, right in there, all those passages of the Lord's Supper, that Jesus says, it's almost formulaistic in that he says exactly the same thing every time in each one of those passages. He took it, blessed it, broke it, and gave it. Mm-hmm. And then this discovery I made this week when I was doing a little Easter, getting ready for Easter sort of thing, and I was looking at the feeding of the 4,000 and the feeding of the 5,000. He took the bread, he blessed the bread, he broke the bread, and he gave the bread. So there's got to be something important in there to repeat it that many times. You know, there's some core New Testament gospel value there. And so I just want us to unpack that a minute because I think it's the key to the healing of people's hearts and the healing of our brokenness. And so in my own particular case, Jesus, I'll use me as an illustration here to walk through this, but in my own case, Jesus took me. He has taken me. That is clear from Psalm 139, verse 1 through 5, 12 and 13. Oh Lord, you search me. You know me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, oh Lord. You've hemmed me in behind and before. You have... Okay, you have laid your hand upon me. You have laid your hand upon me. Woo! How awesome is that? My frame was not hidden from you when further down. My frame's not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. I was not hidden from you when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Did he take me? He chose me. He picked me. He picked me. And I'm really special. But you're just as special as I'm special because all the people that have been born, He picked us. He's taken us from before the foundation of the earth. Most people don't know they're taken. We've been taken. So here Jesus says he has taken me and then he has blessed me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says that he has taken me, to repeat myself. Siri is having a great day here with us, isn't she? So he's taken me, to tell Siri this, she has taken me, okay? And now he has blessed me, and if she'll keep tuning in, I'll tell her the rest of this, okay? Just tell her to call back in a minute. So the Lord has blessed me, Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed me, we, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So that's a promise from God. Okay? And for me personally, in my early life, I was physically blessed. I mean, I grew up in a good family, mom and dad. Okay, I grew up in a small town. I was a big fish in a small pond. When I was in high school, I was my grandmother's favorite grandson, and that was true all through the rest of my, till I was 18 and she passed away. I mean, I was special. And I was a kid with a silver spoon in my mouth. I mean, I was an all-state high school basketball player, went on to have a college scholarship. I was president of the student body in my high school. I mean, I was blessed, okay, in the silver spoon in your mouth sort of way, okay? And so I look at that and I go, you know, I'm really grateful for that. I'm really grateful for that. But then there was a turn, because when I graduated from high school and went to college to play basketball, there were a lot of different things that happened. But my first year in college was the first time in my life that I'd ever experienced failure. And I felt like at the end of that year that I was a failure academically, socially, athletically. It was a tough, tough year for me. And it was what the Lord used to take what was in my head growing up in the church with lots of information about Jesus and to change me and transform me to where Jesus was now living inside of my heart. So after that freshman year, that transition was made from head to heart. So now, instead of just being a church guy who knew stuff and kind of was into all that because my parents made me sort of thing, I was now, in my heart, changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus. And so, I learned soon after that, John 10:10, you know, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Barry's interpretation, that the trajectory of silver spoon and success that I'd had when I was in high school was going to, now that Jesus was in my life, we're really going to go now. Here we go. God's really going to use me, and I'm going to be the same silver spoon superstar that I was when I was in high school. Fascinating. This is where the brokenness comes in. Because when I received Jesus from my head to my heart, he began breaking my heart apart. It didn't take long for that to begin to happen. First of all, he broke my heart to bring me to himself. That was the starting brokenness. And then from that point on, I'll share a few of these with you along in my life, but the next step along the way was when I was playing basketball on a scholarship, and the Lord clearly spoke to me. The first obedience experience in my young Christian life was, basketball is more important to you than I am. It was an idol. And the Lord, in a very difficult, tearful, heart-wrenching sort of way, I walked away from basketball to say, Lord, I'm going to obey you. It was a brokenness experience for me. It was a loss for me. And so here we go. Not the upward trajectory, now we're on the downward trajectory. No scholarship, no basketball. I go on through that. A little bit later, I have this conflict with my sister. That was a very difficult thing for me and for her. That was hard. Conflict with a good friend, that was hard. Both of those I felt like were losses to me, and they were brokenness experiences in my life. As I went further on, I was the director of youth evangelism for the Southern Baptists for 6 years, and I was at 26 years old leading the largest evangelical denominational youth ministry anywhere. 26. At 32, I got fired. So it was a brokenness experience. A lot of behind all that whole thing, as there always is, but basically, I got fired from my job, and it was a very big loss, heart-wrenching, hard brokenness experience for me. So we walk on down the road a few years, and other things that happened along the way, and then we get to August the 2nd, 1998.
when Carol died. That was a brokenness experience. That was an unraveling experience. That was a heart-breaking, heart-wrenching experience. And it wasn't just that way for me, but it was also that way for all my kids. And so here I've got this family of perfect little family, you know, perfect in the scratch and sniff is not all that perfect, but great little family. Wife, love my wife. She loves me. We got four kids. They're all growing up, healthy kids, just doing great. Mom dies. Just unraveled me and unraveled our kids. And we were spiraling. It was a brokenness experience. I met, already knew, but re-met LaWanna Busby, who was the widow of one of my best friends, Dave Busby, who was a youth communicator, one of the most dynamic speakers I've ever heard, ever, and one of my really close friends. He died in December of 1997, the oldest living cystic fibrosis patient in America, died at 47. And by God's design, for sure, he put Dave's widow, LaWanna, and me together. And we married. And we lived happily ever after. So I go through this first part of this whole deal after Carol dies, and I'm now the father of an 11-year-old, single dad of an 11-year-old. Whew, that'll break you. And so here I am with Jenny. God really used that now. I mean, Jenny and I are just so tight, but that was a really hard time for her and me. I marry LaWanna. My kids are not happy about it at all. We're trying to blend a family. How many of you hear from blended? Well, you don't have to raise your hand, but some of you hear from blended families. You know that that is a breaking experience no matter what, how you do it. And so it was a breaking experience for us. We went to see a counselor. I was thinking we'd be there 6 weeks to meet with our kids and kind of get it all worked out. And he said, well, Barry, it'd probably take 2 or 3 years. 7 years later, we stopped going to him. Okay. Brokenness experience of trying to put relationships back together from the unraveling of death and all the things that go with remarriage and kids and putting everything together. Whew. Don't want to do that again. But the Lord took me through all that. And each one of those, then we went through some other stuff ministry-wise and financially in 2008 and so forth. But each one of those was a brokenness experience in my life where God was doing what he was doing in the life of John the Baptist, who was the greatest man who ever lived, so I'm feeling good company here. I must become less so that he can be more. And when God called me to himself, moving from my head to my heart and transform me, then he started reforming me. And the only way he could reform me was to break me. And so he took me through all these brokenness experiences, not because he didn't like me, not because he hadn't chosen me, not because I wasn't blessed, but because he wanted there to be less of me and more of him so I could be a mirror that would brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. Okay? Amazing how the Lord does that. Key point here, James. Key point right here. Okay? Learned this from Henry Nouwen, a book called Life of the Beloved. What God wants to do, he wants to take us and bless us as he had blessed me by bringing me by all those things in my childhood and bringing me to himself. And then once he has blessed us, He takes us through brokenness experiences, and we could go around here person to person, and we could spend the rest of the afternoon identifying the brokenness experiences in our life, and they're all through this room. Right. Brokenness experiences. Okay. Key point here. The Lord wants to bring our brokenness under the blessing. And it's only when you bring the brokenness under the blessing that it ever makes any sense for the glory of God. It's the only thing that ever makes sense that will reform us and change us and change our hearts. And it's the only place where we find healing. And so God's desire for us is to see that Him being the internal disciple maker, okay, we're just going to have a happy time here. No, the Lord said, I'm going to work all things together for my good and your good, and my good and your good is that you would be conformed to the image of Jesus. Okay? Now, to do that, we're going to do some hammering and chiseling away, because it's clear that there's got to be some healing in here to take place so that your heart can be like my heart. So that you can love me with all your heart, because if you don't love me with all your heart, then it's going to be really hard for you to love your neighbor as yourself. And so I want to use you to love your neighbor as yourself, but I'm going to take these brokenness experiences and shape and form you to be the person that I've called you to be, to help you find your identity and live that out in your destiny. It's what I'm about in your life. And that's not only what the Lord has been about in my life, that's your story too. He takes us, He blesses us, He breaks us, and then He, what does He do? He gives us away. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifice acceptable to the Lord is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart He will not despise. And when that brokenness is taking place, then He comes right under us. And in such a beautiful way, He says, give now that you're experiencing healing, give, and it'll be given to you. Press down, shake it together, run it over, and etc. So what does He want to do? He wants to give, take all the brokenness, bring it under the blessing, so that He can give us away. And what happens that is so awesome is that I'm on this downward trajectory, okay, which I would never volunteer for, choose for myself. Okay, this is not, okay, Lord, please do this. No, I'm going to do this, Barry, because I know what's good for you. I know that all things are working together for good, and I know what's good for you, even when you don't know it or you wouldn't choose it. So here it is, and I'm going to give it to you, and the result of me giving it to you is that I'm now going to shape you and form you to be more and more like me. Why? Because I want to increase, watch this now, I want to increase your internal heart capacity. Because when your capacity in here is increased, then you have more to love me with, and now you have more to love other people with. Wow. Amen and amen. Amen. Yeah. So, I think that's what the Lord's about in being the internal disciple maker. And really, when we come to external disciple making in a few minutes, which is really the other side of the coin in a sense, the journey outward, the thing that we're shooting for there is not to get people in a small group, not to have a little, you know, Bible reading session or a little Bible study. No, the point is to reform people's hearts and to bring them to a place in that group. And only in a small group can you do this. There, you know, God can definitely speak without being a small group. Don't hear me say that. But what I'm saying is that you can't, in a crowd, somebody preaching, whatever, God can speak or whatever. God can do it any way He wants. But for ongoing shaping to take place, I need to be in a place where my heart can heal. So, that's what I think the Lord is up to with this whole internal disciple-making thing. And then, God, the third point here, God's healing and restoring plan is to radically transform our hearts so we live in our true identity and destiny. And one other illustration with that is sort of like, you know, we all have used, you know, we've always said this, made this statement, you know, you peel it back like you peel back the layers of an onion. We've all said that, okay? That's what the Lord is doing here. He doesn't... Just you come to Jesus, boom, it's all done, we're finished now. No, we're now on a journey. And it's an inward journey, and He's peeling back the layers. He's peeling back one layer at a time. And when He peels it back, He wants me, He only wants one thing for me. Obey. Just respond. Just let me. Just bring your brokenness under the blessing. That's all He's saying I want you to do.
And when that happens, the result of that is that God brings healing. I've said this often, and this is a key thing in some of my own healing, but healing begins with mourning. If I don't mourn it, I can't be healed from it. And mourning simply means that I grieve the loss of it, and I say to the Lord, Lord, this is what it is. It is a loss for me. It's painful for me. I admit to you what has happened to me here, what either I've done or someone else has done to me that's caused this response, or whatever the situation is, I am saying to you, this is very painful for me, and I am mourning this. And as soon as I fall on my face before God with that, He heals. And He keeps on healing. He heals that, and He keeps on healing. And so the wound then turns into a scar. Badge of courage, so to speak. I got several of them right here. I can look at and say, I know what that was about. That was when. Doesn't hurt anymore. So, the Lord wants to heal us. He wants to start with me. He wants to be in the process of healing me every day. It's not just some healing service or something. He's in the process of healing me every day. And every day He wants me to simply bring what's, I got a deal today. It's like, okay, I know this is out there, and I'm having to deal with it. It's external, but it's out there. Lord, I'm bringing this brokenness of this situation under You. I'm saying, I'm putting it under Your blessing. You're the only one, I'm acknowledging, You're the only one who can heal it. I can't. You're the internal disciple maker. You heal it. And I'm going to let You do that. Let Him heal it. So, we do those things, peeling back the layers of an onion, just peeling back, and realizing that as those brokenness experiences come, hear me now, when those brokenness experiences come, that's good. When those brokenness experiences come, it is a gift. God gives us the gift of brokenness. As horrible as that sounds, as horrible as it sounds to me to even say it, the gift of brokenness, really? You know, that's not the way I would do it, but that's the way God does it, so that we can be like Him. And He wants all of His church to be like Him, so that there's less of me and more of Him. The greatest need and the only hope of all humans, as I said before, is a change of heart. And so He's forming us, deforming us, we were deformed, He's transformed, and now He's reforming us. And so how does the Holy Spirit do this? I want to show you one diagram, and then I'm going to give us three scripture prayers to pray. But here's how God heals our heart. We make choices, take the Word of God, the Word of Jesus, and believe His Word over anything else. Believe what He's saying to me is the truth, is what really is, and I'm going to let Him come in and work inside of my heart. And as He works in my heart through my obedience, my only job is to obey, just to bring it in there and say, here it is, Lord, here it is. I'm bringing this to You and asking You to heal it. Then He begins to work in my mind and my will and my emotions. And He heals the way my mind thinks about it. He heals my will in terms of my choices, future choices that I make. He heals my emotions and bringing my emotions in line with my heart and what He's doing in my heart. And then that begins to affect my body and what my body then expresses to other people outside my soul, all of me that You see and all of You that I see reflects that right there. The choices I've made with my brokenness experiences to let God work in my heart to heal me, and then letting Him work that out over time to be that. And when it comes out the top there, we love God and we love people. We're a mirror.
that brightly reflects the glory of the Lord in that area. And then there's another one, and he keeps working. And it's a lifelong journey, and we're on it, and praise God that we are. Amen? Hard as it is, amen. So here are three prayers we can pray. Okay, here they are. Psalm 51:10. Most of us know these, but these are just in this context. Hopefully they fit well. Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Clean heart, pure heart, whole heart. That's what that means. A healed heart. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God. This is great here. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any... What's the word? See if there's any... wicked way in me. Actually, that word is crooked. Think about it. It's crooked. And so really what he's doing is not... It may be wicked in some ways, but really what he's doing is he's searching your heart. He's straightening out the crooked places in my heart to make me more like him. Love that. And then Mark 12:29 through 31, we've been looking at it all day. Love the Lord with all your heart. Lord, help me to love you with all my heart so I can love other people with all their heart, which is the first commandment that you gave to me to do in my life. And it can only happen when I start right in here and let you heal me. So I invite you to do that. Now and tomorrow and from here on out, I'm going to live in my brokenness, and I'm going to let you heal it and bring that brokenness under your blessing, so that the person who has taken me and blessed me and who broke me can then give me away to the glory of God. Well, let's just pause for prayer just a moment. Just quietly. I just want us to sit quietly and just reflect on what we just said there. And say to the Lord, Lord, I just want to ask you to be my internal disciple maker. I want to let you disciple my heart. My heart. I want you to heal the broken places. As painful as it is to face those and look in the mirror, I want you to heal my heart. Okay, here's what I want you to do next. I'm going to take these little sheets right here. And you're going to turn the first one over to the back, which says Go Deeper with Christ Plan of Action. And what we're going to do here is just reflect on what we've just said and done. Give you about, 5-6 minutes just to quietly reflect on where it says Go Deeper with Christ Plan of Action.